It's actually a little bit of a challenging time of year. I don't know if you find that, but I find this next couple of weeks are quite difficult. I've wrote this in my journal a number of times over the last 15 years. January, the month where everyone wants to be the pastor, except the pastor. Okay, what about you? It's a challenging time. Up and down my street for the last 4 weeks, it's been ablaze with light, with twinkling, with amazing reds and blues and greens and whites. Beautiful. And this week, it's all gone, hasn't it? It's what the Scottish call dreek, all of a sudden, isn't it? And that sometimes gets into our very spirits, doesn't it? The reckon, I think it's the third week in January is the most depressing week of the year, don't they? Because your credit card statement comes and you can't even remember what that night out was that's on there. And it brings everybody down. And it's a really strange thing, I think, because the nights are getting shorter and Jesus is alive. Yes? And it should be a time of, yes, get in. Actually, I think for Christians, we should be like a New Year people all the time. We don't have to wait for a particular time of year to encounter God. We don't have to wait for a particular time of year for Him to hear us. Do you do New Year's resolutions?
No.
Oh, does that have to do a quick straw poll? Who does New Year's resolutions? Don't ask me how I do that. I did a bit of a New Year's resolution in October, because I'm allowed to anytime you like. And for the last several years, I've been reading my kind of devotional, quiet time every day. Read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. Some things never change. But I've been using my phone, and I've got my Bible on my phone. I've got a little devotional on my phone, and I've been reading it. But I get bored easily. You might not know that about me, but I get bored easily. I need a bit of a freshness in my devotion, so I'm crazy. Some of you are going to faint. I've gone back to paper. Oh, June's like, hallelujah, the pastor's got saved. I've gone back to paper. And in October, I thought, I'm going to read some of the kind of the backwaters of Scripture. All of us have got different backwaters of Scripture. There's bits that you know and love that perhaps I don't know and love so well. I've read it all a few times, honestly. But I'm like, I want to read some of those bits. So I went through the Minor Prophets, absolutely amazing. And then I was in 2 Corinthians. And 1 Corinthians, I know all about that, you know, speaking in tongues, Holy Spirit stuff, you know, I'm an expert on that stuff. But 2 Corinthians, I start reading it, and it's a really brilliant book. Really, you know, God speaking to me. I'm not reading it for you. Very important that for church leader. I'm reading it for my walk with Jesus, not my walk with you with Jesus. I do other stuff for that. But this is about me and him. And I'm reading it, and it's really inspiring me. And then, you know, I've left that behind. I've been in Jude. Have you read Jude recently? That'll give you a couple of questions over coffee, I'll tell you what. Read Jude. And then this week I'm thinking, right, Lord, what is the word? What is the word for the new year? What is the word to get the church going, to get us out of our Christmas lethargy, to deal with the dreakness of January? What is the word? And the Lord took me back to something that I've read in 2 Corinthians. It is a New Year's word, and we'll read it together this morning. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Let's just hover over that for a second, shall we? What's God not doing? So why do you keep counting your sins against you? If he's not. Just a little point. That's not certain. Not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, although God was making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's a cracker, isn't it? That'll keep us going for a few weeks, I think. But I particularly like this verse, and I think it's why it's so apt for today. So, from now on. Actually, it could be part of the greatest show, couldn't it? We've left that behind. So, from now on. It's a real now verse, isn't it? This is not just about a New Year's resolution or something that Nick did in October. This is a narrow verse. God has got something for you today. And that's an amazing thing. That every day, this stuff is new. Every day, he's got something for you. And he's got a new view for us. Sometimes we need to change our view. I don't know whether you know this painting. It's in the National Gallery. It's called The Ambassadors. It's massive. It's probably about the size of that screen in the gallery itself. It's an incredible painting. Painted by Holbein at the time that Henry VIII was king. And when you look at the painting, you see a clash of worldviews. These two handsome guys are in their 20s. One's 27 and one's 25. We know that by some of the symbolism in the painting. One is the ambassador of France to Henry's court, and one is the ambassador for the Pope to Henry's court. 27 and ambassadors. That doesn't happen anymore, does it? You have to be 9 years old to get that job. But anyway, these guys, they are ambassadors, and they are both Catholic. And Henry, conveniently, has recently become Protestant. You all know the history, so we won't go to that. And these two guys are both Catholic. And this painting is about a change of view in Britain. Because all of the stuff along the painting is saying, Catholicism is dead, Protestantism is alive. I'm not getting into that debate this morning. I'm just trying to show you a change of view. Including the fact that the hymn book behind them is Lutheran. That's Protestantism. When you look at this painting dead on, you can see that strange mark, can't you, in the middle. You can see it. And then when you go to the National Gallery, you have to stand, I think it's 17 degrees. But when you do that, you see that. You see this huge skull painted or on this huge painting. And when you look at it from the front, it just looks like a strip. What's that on the floor? But when you get the right angle, you see something different. We need a new view as a people of God. We need to see things differently. Too many of us are wrapped up with seeing the way that the world sees. That was Tony's word for us this morning. Seeing the world, and we all get caught up in it, every single one of us, and we need to change our perspective, change our view to see. What Holbein is saying is, this old way of life is dead, and there's a new way coming. But the point of it is that we are called from now on to look differently. Paul, in this passage, is saying, from now on, we need a new view of people. And in particular, he's talking about himself, and he's talking about the way the church in Corinth, having loved him and accepted him as a great teacher and an apostle, have now started to criticise him, and have now started to say he's dodgy. Don't trust him. He's sticking his hand in the offering bag. He's a ropey. He's not to be trusted. And Paul has got this big issue with him. Actually, all the way through 2 Corinthians, he's talking about how Christians relate to other Christians. If you're a Christian this morning, there's a word here for you. How do you relate to other Christians? And as we look at the social media world in which we live, it is so easy, isn't it, to slam people. It's so easy to be absolutely, totally aggressive in a way you would never dare to be face to face. And we see it consistently at the moment, with other Christians, especially the ones who are well-known, being blamed, being criticised, being called out. They're not even real followers of Jesus. And Paul is having a right go at that. He's saying, don't do it. Don't do it. How dare you? I am an apostle of Jesus Christ. I once thought like this, but I don't think like this anymore. And he's really saying, guys, we need to be careful how we respond to each other. Because otherwise, when the world looks at you, all they see is hypocrites. All they see is whinges and moaners. All they see is misery. They don't see life and hope and joy. They don't see connection. They see disconnection. They don't see unity. They see disunity. I mean, we've got a great, amazing plethora of opportunity to worship in this city, in this nation, in this world. If you want smells and bells, there's a church down the road will do that for you. If you want happy, clappy arms in the air, there's a variety of levels of that, isn't there? If you want proper, decent, serious Bible teaching, there's churches that do that as well. It's easy to then start criticising them. It's easy. And especially if you've been caused pain. And I know within our congregation, there were those who were here because of the pain of other churches, because of the pain of leaders, because of the pain that people have said, done, whatever, to you. And it's easy, therefore, to carry that pain through. But Paul says five times in this little verse, reconciliation, 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 reconciliation. What do you think his point is?
Reconciliation.
I'm not saying to you, go back and get beaten up again. I'm not saying to you, go back to that place that abused you, that walked all over you. I'm not telling you that. That is not reconciliation. But don't put yourself in a place where you become judge of them. You know, we're not meant to judge the world. And Paul said as well, 2 Corinthians, we can't judge the church. But I think it's about us. You can be critical friends to the leadership of this church. But it's not our role, I don't think, to blur out somebody else's dirty washing. I don't think it is. I think it's disunity. And Paul is saying, this is what you're doing to me. This is what you're doing to me. And actually, I'm a follower of Jesus. Actually, I am a new creation. So when you start to critique somebody whose theology you don't like, whose worship style you don't like, whose leadership style you don't like, just remember, they're a new creation like me.
Yeah.
It's important that, isn't it? It's important. We need a new view. We need a new view of fellow Christians. But we also need to think about how we think. Paul uses this phrase, katasarka, and it means to think humanly, to think flesh. And he's saying we need to think katanuma, to think in the spirit. We need to not be with the spirit of the world that reacts immediately to any pain, to react immediately to any offence. We are so easily offended in our world. Christians need to be unoffended. We need to be unoffended. We need to take it on the chin and think spiritually. I'm not going to react. I'm not going to give in to this. I'm going to be like Jesus. Chapter, a friend of mine recently who has got a neighbour dispute. My friend said, what do I do? They keep doing this and they keep doing that. I'm saying, I'm afraid Jesus has got you over the bow. You have to love your neighbour and you have to love your enemy. Oh, do I have to? You do, but what do? Be kind to them. Well, they're not kind to me. Yeah, I know it's easy to be kind to people who are kind to you, isn't it? That's called humanity. To be kind to someone who's horrible to you, that's called Christianity. And if you're in that place where you are consistently denying what it is to be a follower of Jesus, are you a follower of Jesus? Because he asks us to think differently. From now, in a place that needs reconciliation. Today's your day. From now on, we need to have a different view of the Christian people. But we also need to have a different view of all people. There's a crisis, apparently, going on in the English Channel with people in small motorboats trying to get to Kent. I mean, I've been to Kent. You wouldn't want to go there, would you?
Sorry, is it?
And we get wrapped up with the rhetoric of the press that says, A, it's a crisis. I don't believe that. NHS crisis. Homelessness in this country, crisis. Selfishness in this country, that's a crisis. You are so desperate. You try and cross the busiest shipping lane in the world in a small motorboat. You are desperate. But why are you desperate? Because what's going on behind you is horrendous. I'm not a politician. I'm not saying for a second we should just say, everybody come in. I'm not saying that. But I am saying we need to think like Jesus. Jesus, who spent the first few years of his life as a refugee. Well, I remember, isn't it? We need to think like Jesus. We need to be saying, hang on a minute, we need compassion. And perhaps we need to change our foreign policy so that we haven't got people crossing the water in the first place. You get me? I know you haven't got responsibility for foreign policy. But you have got responsibility to pray. You have. Prayer's where the heavy lifting's done. We need to be praying about what's going on in our world. We need to take a Christian view, not a world view. And for those great leaders of our world who claim Christ and don't act like Christ, you're allowed to go, yeah, I'm not going to pray, I'm not going to vote for you. I'm not going to follow you. We need a new view of the church. We need a new view of people. We need a new view of Jesus. Incredible. In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul is talking about Jesus. He talks about Jesus all the time. And he's saying to anybody who listens, you need to encounter Jesus. You need to know Jesus. You need a fresh view of Jesus. Jesus brings reconciliation. Jesus comes and makes you right with God the Father. He says you can be right with God today. It is an incredible verse here. He says, this is my testimony. I once persecuted the church. I once wanted to kill them. And I used to think in this worldly way. But then I encountered Jesus. And since I encountered Jesus, I've took this fresh look. I see him fresh today. I know what he's done in my life. I know who he is in my life. If you need recreation today, if you walk miserable today, then you need Jesus. From now on, you need a fresh encounter with Jesus. Well, I've been a Christian a long time. Paul, at this point, has been a Christian at least 15 years. At least 15 years. He's the greatest theologian that ever lived, bar one. Not me, not Jesus. Greatest theologian, bar one, that's ever lived. And yet, here he is, writing to the church, and he says, from now on, this is how I see. It's immediate, isn't it? God can speak to you today. So how long have you been walking with him? Or if you're not walking with him, he can speak to you today. How do you regard Jesus? Is it just as a historical figure? Or do you not even know that? Come off if you're not sure. Or do you see him as the one who brings life, who has brought reconciliation between you and God? I have this conversation with Christians often, where they say to me, why is God doing this to me? Why is this happening to me? Why is this going on? And we need to go back to 2 Corinthians 5 that says, this is what God has done. He has made you right. This is what Jesus has done. He's made you right with the Father. God's not doing that to you. Why would he take his word back? He's made you right with the Father. We need a fresh view of Jesus. A fresh view of who Jesus is and what he does. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In him we might become the righteousness of God. That's who the church is. We need to step into that, don't we? Am I beating you up? I don't mean to. Because you can be the righteousness of God this morning. Because we've got a new hope. A new hope. Oh, back on Star Wars. Look at that. Brilliant.
Sorry, we're always looking at that.
This is my firm conviction. You can come to Jesus today. If you're not yet a follower of Jesus, you can come to Jesus. You can say, Lord, I'm sorry for the way I've lived my life. Will you come into my life? Will you make me whole? Will you forgive me? And he will come in. You can come to Jesus today. But in 2 Corinthians, all of the traffic is in the other direction. Paul says very clearly, all of this is from God. All this is from God. We need both those strands. We have to turn to him. But it all comes to us from God. It is not works. We go back to Holbein's painting. It's not about how good you are. You might be sitting there thinking, I'm not good enough. You don't know what I've done. I don't particularly want to. And yes, you're right. You're not good enough. But all this is from him. He is good enough. He who had no sin came to be sin so that you could be reconciled to God and be the righteousness of God. I don't want to be told consistently that I'm a sinner. I am aware already. What the church in this country needs to hear is that you are righteous. Don't need to hear that. Look at the person next to you. Tell them, you are righteous. Sometimes you need to hear from somebody else's lips, don't you? We don't always believe what people tell us. We don't always believe things about ourselves. But this is what God says. It's all from God. You've turned and said, I need Jesus. and I'm sorry for my sin. And then all of this amazing stuff comes our way. We get reconciled with the Father. We are given the righteousness of God. It's called the imputed righteousness in theological terms. We become righteous, not because you are good, because you're not, but because He is good and lives in you. Do you get that? That's good, isn't it? Because He gives us a new role. We're called to be ambassadors. Paul talks about himself as being an ambassador. An ambassador of reconciliation. Reconciliation, 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 reconciliation. An ambassador of reconciliation. You are called to be an ambassador. That is not the job of pastors and leaders. That is the job of followers of Jesus. I'm quite concerned for Rob and Katie and for Ollie and Tammy. Because Rob and Ollie have both finished their first term training for full-time pastor ministry. Is it a coincidence that Ollie's in hospital getting a rod taken out and Katie's had serious surgery on the back? It's not, is it? There's a bit of spiritual warfare that we need to do. We need to pray for these guys and surround them and ask the angel of God to surround them, because God has got a lot for these people. But it's not just about them. We are called to be ambassadors. We are called to be ambassadors. Interestingly, that word ambassador is about going into other places, isn't it? The Queen doesn't have ambassadors to London, does she? She doesn't have ambassadors to Britain, but she has ambassadors from Britain in other places. And we're called to bring that righteousness that God has done in our lives, that hope of reconciliation, into your family, into your workplace, into your social life, that we would be the reconcilers in life, that we would be those people who bring the new, that bring the hope. We're in January, and it's miserable, but we've got a hope, haven't we? That doesn't rest on the fact that my neighbours have taken their beautiful lights down. My hope is something inside me. Siobhan started off this morning, might even be before you got here. In fact, it was, we were praying as a worship team. You know, sometimes you don't feel it, but we have to step into what we know is true. What do you know is true? The righteousness of God. We're called to be ambassadors. Ambassadors of reconciliation. And that has to start with you. Who are you unreconciled with this morning? Where do you need reconciliation? Paul uses this word theologically, between us and God. That's bizarrely one of the easiest things we can deal with this morning. Lord, I feel like I'm cut off from you because of the sin in my life. It's habitual sin. Will you help me? Will you forgive me? Will you set me free? The answer is yes to all those questions. He will. That's an easy thing to deal with. Reconciliation with God for the first time. I've never asked Jesus into my life. You can do that this morning. He will come by His Holy Spirit into your life and give you hope and a future and life. But what about those difficult people in your life? Who do you need reconciling with? The awkward neighbour. The dreadful family. How was Christmas? I find Christmas answers vary from, how was Christmas? It was great. To, yeah. And worse, who do you need reconciliation with? Now, I'm not asking you to go put your head back in the lion's mouth. I'm not asking you to go back to that place where you've been abused, afflicted by some individuals. That's not wise. But as much as it is up to you, you need to start to bring the ministry of reconciliation. And the way you can do that, in the first instance, is to pray. If you've got issues with other Christians, where we started this morning, if you've got issues with other Christians, the best thing you can do for them is to pray for them and ask that God would bless them. Honestly, it'll change your life, and it'll change theirs. It'll change your life. It removes from us that jealousy, that discord, that stuff in our lives that we're kind of wrestling with and we hate it. You need to give it to God. But also you need to produce something with it. Lord, will you bless that person? Now, I've said this many times before, but 12 years ago when I was coming to Liverpool, I started to pray every day for Nick Harding, who at the time was the leader of Frontline Church, but Bill Bygraves was the leader of Bridge Chapel. Because I thought, if I'm not careful, I'll be jealous of those guys. You know, the big churches, the big blah, blah, blah. So I started to pray for them every day.
Yes.
God releases something when you do that.
Yes.
Apart from friendship with both of them, which is brilliant. I mean, they both kissed me every time they see me. It's like, touch with me muscular side, oh, can't we, lads? Well, what an amazing thing. Try it this new year. Try it. You've got a new role. You're an ambassador of reconciliation. But what about those horrible, horrible people? Well, Jesus has got you over a barrel. Whether your neighbour or your enemy, you pray for them. You don't have to tell them you're praying for them. You don't have to tell them you forgive them. You don't have to tell them any of that stuff. But you have to pray for them and you have to forgive them. And as you do that, this ministry that Paul has here, this ministry that God has given us as a church, starts to bear fruit. And we start to see change in our lives. It's time for the new. We need to be about the Father's business. It's time for the new. We need to be about the Father's business. Reconciliation. We're going to take communion in a few minutes. That is reconciliation on a plate. The blood of Jesus poured out for you as a sinner. The body of Jesus broken for you as a sinner. But as you take that food, you eat with the church. You are called into relationship. Reconciliation has done its job and you are whole. What's God saying to you this morning? From now on, what change do I need to make? From now on, what do I need to put down? From now on, who do I need to forgive? From now on, what do I have to do, Lord, to be saved? From now on. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that your word is living and active. A double-edged sword that is sharp. Lord, I pray for the word that you've spoken to each of us this morning. Lord, that we wouldn't leave, Lord, without dealing with that. Lord, I pray for this week ahead. That your word would be sharp in our lives. Know your presence. That we would hear your voice. That we would do what you say. That we would be ambassadors of reconciliation. But Lord, most of all, we thank you that we are given the righteousness of Jesus.
Yes.
That when you look at us, you don't see our filthy sin. But you see the blood of Jesus that covers a multitude of sins. Thank you, Lord. Amen.